morning, sir. What's your name, please?
My name is Jeremy Bunker.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This is concerning the four allegations, or five allegations, I guess, on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on February 5th, sir. You signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that form?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Before I forget this, I believe I failed to have you restate your full name and your ADC number for the record.
Okay, Jeremy Bunker, 284-669.
Thank you, sir. Okay, back to the allegations and the form that you signed. The form had a list of your hearing rights. And on there, on that list, it says you could hire an attorney at your expense if you wanted to. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself?
I'll represent myself.
Okay. Most people do, so you're not alone with that. Okay, so I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look to your right, so that way, on the screen, is the Honorable David Neal. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us today Mr. Turner. Here he is, from the Department of Corrections. He is with the department. He'll represent the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in the hearing today. Okay, sir? So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Parker and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Parker?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Parker, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine whether your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what we'll do is I'll go through each of these allegations, I'll read them, and I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, so you understand the process?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get started with phase one. The first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your being in possession of dangerous drugs for sale on or about October 20th, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Parker, is that true or false?
That's false. Well, I'm currently in court right now battling that, so I'm trying to fight that to the full potential.
Okay. Well, you know what, sir? I'm going to give you a third option. Is it true, false, or do you wish to remain silent since that action is in court? The reason is these hearings are recorded, and if something comes up in all of that that's going on in court, they can subpoena this record. So anything you say here, they can use. So I'll give you three choices. True, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
Wish to remain silent.
Okay, on condition number one, or allegation number one. Okay, allegation number two is that you were in violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your being in possession of dangerous drugs on or about October 20th in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Parker, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
Wish to remain silent.
Okay. And allegation number three is demonstrated by violation of condition number five is demonstrated by your use of an electronic device in a drug-related transaction on or about October 20th, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Parker, do you wish true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
Wish to remain silent.
Okay, sir.
I have a question.
Sure.
With those allegations on that paper, I no longer have those. When I went to court, I don't know what the proper terminology would be, but I believe they were not there anymore.
They were dismissed, or they were not filed, or?
I believe they were dismissed. I don't know. I don't really know what it is. I just know they're not there anymore.
Well, we just need to.
I think they were dismissed.
We need to protect your rights, that's all. So in case, in case something happens, we protect your rights. So allegation number four is that you were in violation of condition number five as demonstrated by your failure to report contact with a law enforcement agency to your assigned parole officer on or about October 20th, 2018. Now that one, Mr. Parker, I think that one we can say, is that one true or false?
as far as I was a bill in on these charges, and then I was later released. And then that morning when I was released, I called my supervisor officer, but she did not answer, so I left a message. But I will say that I should have tried harder to tell her more about it.
Okay, I'll mark that one false, and then we'll get some testimony from Mr. Turner in just a minute on that one. And he'll be able to tell us what the department's position on that. And then the last allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 6, as demonstrated by your being in possession and control of a firearm on or about October 31st, 2018. Mr. Parker, is that true or false?
That's false. I went to a Halloween party. We took Halloween pictures. We had a couple of other people in mind. We were in a Halloween costume.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll get some testimony from Mr. Turner at this point on allegations 4 and 5. Allegation. Oh, there's allegation 4. It crosses over to the next page on this one. Mr. Turner?
Yes, ma'am. I believe 1, 2, and 3 are exactly the same.
Right, we just need 4 and 5.
You don't want me to read 1?
Actually, I guess we do have to have it read for the record. And we'll state that 1, 2, and 3 are exactly the same, except for probably the last sentence.
Correct. Okay. Allegation number 1. On 10-20-2018, the Phoenix Police Department's Mountain View Neighborhood Enforcement Team met. Observed a light blue Toyota four-door vehicle with an Arizona license plate of CFH8737. They performed a records check on the vehicle, and for the motor vehicles department, the registration was suspended for no insurance. Officer R. Belanda, number 7274, conducted a traffic stop at 1200 West Indian School Road. The driver was identified as Jeremy Parker, the offender, and the female passenger was identified as Alicia Martinez. The offender was found to be driving on a suspended driver's license and was placed under arrest. An inventory search of the vehicle was conducted by Phoenix Officer Jay Brill, number 07193, prior to impounding the vehicle. A black backpack was found directly behind the driver's seat and contained a small quantity of heroin, 6.44 grams of methamphetamine, 5 cell phones, and a digital scale. While conducting the search of the vehicle, the offender asked that Phoenix PD officers retrieve his cell phone from the vehicle. Officer Will retrieved the cell phone, a gray iPhone 6S smartphone. Officer Will immediately observed a Facebook message on the phone screen from a Diana Reyes that stated, "Will you trade a bomb for some dark?" A text message appeared soon after that from Dez that asked, "I got 20 for some black." A third message was observed through text from Lindsay number 2 that stated, "Where are you at? I need some of that fire you get from Chrissy. I need a half." Officer Brillant knows through training and experience that black and dark are street slang for heroin and fire is a street term for methamphetamine. A search warrant for the offender's cell phone was later authorized by Officer Bob and signed by Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Larry Ash. On the cell phone were numerous messages between the offender and other people referring to the sale, purchase, and price of various illegal street drugs. During a search of the offender's person, U.S. currency was found in 4 different pockets in various denominations totaling $661. The offender was read his Miranda warnings and asked if he understood. The offender responded yes. The offender was then asked if the illegal drugs found in the backpack were his. He immediately denied ownership of the backpack. When asked if he had a job, the offender stated that he does day labor at 43rd Avenue and Camelback Road. The offender stated that he makes $50 per day cash and he pays $60 per day to stay at a motel. The offender's been out of prison for 1 month and couldn't really explain where he got the $661. When asked about the phone messages, the offender stated that he just got the phone 2 days ago and that the messages were not for him. The offender was transported to the Mountain View precinct for processing. The vehicle was towed and impounded for a 30-day hold for the suspended license. The offender was later booked into the Fourth Avenue Jail for one count of possession of dangerous drug for sale and later released.
Okay, and then the differing sentence on allegation number two.
Since the offender was transported to the Mountain View precinct for processing, the vehicle was towed and impounded. I think it says the same.
It's the last sentence that's different.
The offender was later booked in the Fourth Avenue Jail for one count of possession of dangerous drugs and later released.
And then allegation number three.
The offender was later booked into the Fourth Avenue Jail for one count of use of an electronic device in a drug-related transaction and later released.
Okay, and Mr. Parker, since you chose to remain silent on those, we'll just leave that and not discuss those any further. But now allegation number four, which you said was false, we'll take testimony from Mr. Turner on that.
Allegation number four. On 10-20-2018, Phoenix Park Mountain View neighborhood enforcement team net observed a light blue Toyota Florida vehicle with an Arizona license plate of CFH8737. They performed a records check on the vehicle and for the motor vehicle department, the registration was suspended for no insurance. Officer Paul Bonrandis, number 7274, conducted a traffic stop at 2100 West Indian School Road. The driver was identified with Jeremy Parker, the offender. The offender was arrested at this time and later released. The offender failed to notify a parole officer that he had contact with law enforcement on 10-20-2018. On 11-7-2018, the offender reported to the South Mountain Parole Office for his scheduled visit. The offender still failed to report he had police contact. The offender was placed under arrest and transported to ASPC Alhambra on 11-7-2018 due to this violation and numerous felonies.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Now, before, I know this is going to come up, could you possibly look in the record and see if there was a contact? I know this says there wasn't, but Mr. Parker has said he called and left a message.
Okay. This would have been 10-20.
Would have been around 10-20.
On 10-31, P.O. spoke with him on his cell phone in reference to a missed task. Said that it wasn't working for him, never made any mention of being arrested. And then on 11-2, parole officer met with the offender and his mother and brother at their new residence located at 6801 West Ocotillo. Spoke with the offender's mother, Simon, who informed the offender's been doing better since last time he was released from prison. Addressed task, no sample collected, directed to report to task today. If he was positive, he would be put in classes. There's nothing indicating that he ever told his parole officer that that he had had contact.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Parker, what's false about that allegation? Because it appears there's nothing in your official record to show that you told your parole officer that you had law enforcement contact, and you spoke with her on two other occasions and never mentioned it.
Yeah, correct. That's why the morning that I saw, I called, she did not answer. I left a message. I guess she didn't receive the message, or it didn't check the messages on her phone. But also, my thought, I could have made more of an effort to tell her. So since when I left a message, since she never replied back to me, I just kind of figured that, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Maybe she didn't care, or maybe she didn't.
Okay.
She didn't, but that's on my part. I should have made sure that she knew about it more.
Okay, so we'll move on to allegation number five, and I'll have Mr. Turner read that one for us, too. Thank you.
Allegation number five. On 11-7-2018, offender Jeremy Parker, ADC number 284-669, reported to the South Mountain Parole Office at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, for his scheduled appointment with CCO Smith. The offender was placed under arrest upon his arrival due to having five new felony charges from Phoenix PD on 10/20/2018. Search of the offender's Motorola cell phone was conducted after his arrest. On the phone were several pictures taken dated 10/31/2018 of the offender in possession of weapons. The offender is a prohibited possessor and is not permitted to have any weapons in his possession. Offender Jeremy Parker was transported to ASPC Alhambra on 11/7/2018 due to numerous new felony charges.
Okay, Mr. Parker, so what's false about that allegation then?
I was going to a Halloween party. It was my birthday. I was going to a Halloween party. So me and a girlfriend of mine and a couple of people, we were just taking pictures on our phones.
Right.
They weren't real good. They weren't real. Like,
but what wasn't real?
The weapons in the picture. I mean, they weren't real firearms. They weren't official prop guns. I got them from this Party Central, this place called Party Central, or Party City.
All right, sir. Mr. Parker, I'm going to make a motion to move this hearing from phase one to phase two, sir. So just hold on just a moment. Oh, Mr. Parker, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. In the back of the warrant, there is photocopies of the weapons that he had in his possession.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, thank you. I'm going to make a motion based on Mr. Parker's admission for allegation four, in which he says that he could have made more effort to contact and inform the parole officer. And based on testimony of Mr. Turner of the Department of Corrections for allegations 1, 2, 3, and 5, I move to find Mr. Parker delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of not being
second.
Seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Parker, we move to phase two of your hearing, which is the part of the hearing where we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But before we do, I'm going to take some testimony from Mr. Turner, just with some background information about your case, sir. So just remain on the phone, and we'll be back with you to talk with you some more in just a moment, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Parker was released from ADC custody on 8/20/2018 and arrested on 11/7/2018 by ADC on a TEP violation. New charges, he has pending charges by Phoenix PD for possession of drugs for sale. He was returned back to ADC custody on 11/7/2018 with a CSED of 4/19/2019, 0 abscondes. Current convictions, 2016, commitment C count 1, dangerous drug violation, 2 years and 6 months. 2016, commitment D count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. Prior convictions, 2011, theft, 1 year, 6 months. 2014, escape, second degree, 1 year, 3 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2014, TIS release, absconded for 117 days. Arrested, reached CSED in custody. 2015, TIS release, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is minimal. Under arrest, I believe it's the pending charges that he has. He has a GP score of G3B4. Status of charges, as of 2/15/2019, County Attorney's Office was contacted. They stated that it's an ongoing case and they would not release any information.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Parker, we have a written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision, and it looks like when you were released, initially you went to live with your brother at 3007 North Black Canyon Highway, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and did you stay at that location the entire time, or you moved? Or you moved to a different apartment on Ocotillo in Glendale?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you stay there?
My brother did. Yeah, my brother did.
And you stayed there the whole time, the rest of the time you were out? Okay, okay, well, that's good. Were you working, sir?
Yes.
Okay, what job did you have? What were you doing?
I'm doing day labor.
Okay, you were doing day labor. Okay. What kind of work was it?
It was work. Sometimes, like, I would show up at about 5:30 in the morning. Something like, one job was the golf course, some job was the A-lot on the freeway, and then the other was called the waste management.
Okay.
It's called waste management.
Uh-huh. So stuff like landscaping or cleanup or...
Anything that allows us to do that.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, sir, it looks like you were responsible to submit some urines for task. And there were a couple of times when you didn't submit. It looks like October 31st and November 2nd. Why didn't you go submit those specimens?
I was partying myself, and I was in prison, so I was long for it to be with my friends.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of chose that over there. I feel like I was being selfish, and I felt like it was my day. So I kind of took that day upon myself. When I went, my parole officer called me, and I told her what I just said, and she directed me to go urine test. So I went that day, but I guess if you're not, I was there at probably 6 o'clock, but the mine was on, and it got past 7, so I told, they would not let me drop that day.
Okay.
So because we had passed a certain time limit, they would not let me drop, and I asked them, would they call my parole officer? I think they did call, and told her that, because that's what she called me, and they told me I need to go today.
So it was October 31st, which was your birthday, and then October 2nd. Both of those days you were told to go. Would you have been dirty if you had dropped those days?
No, on the first one, October 31st, yeah, I would have been.
October 31st, you would have been dirty?
Yeah.
Because then on November 5th, it looks like you tested positive for meth.
Yeah, because I was with my friend, and...
Okay, so you've been using meth, sir?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question? Okay, Mr. Parker, we're coming up to the end of your hearing. I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of you'd want the board to consider, sir?
I was trying. As you can see, like you said, I've become more responsible as the speaker was saying, and you can tell in the pattern, before I would get out and I would just scout and run. Like, I'm growing, I'm getting more mature, I'm handling my responsibility by not running and being honest about my drug usage, and I make mistakes. I admit that on October 20th, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was guilty of driving a suspended license, but that's it. That's why I'm fighting in court. I was at the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong person. It was a mistake. And that's what I plan on to keep fighting, because before I would just sign and give up, but now I'm going to fight for my innocence. And I feel like I apologize. I should have made more of an effort to make sure my supervisor, my parole supervisor, was notified about what happened that day. I feel like since I called that night at morning when I was released, and I was, a part of me was hoping that maybe, okay, well, she hasn't responded, so maybe she kind of swept it under the rug, or she kind of did that, and the other part of me, the responsible part, was telling me that I should make an effort so that she do know that I could be more clear. So I apologize about that, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, sir, thank you. Mr. Parker, the board is going to go into discussion, and we'll come back with you in just a moment with a decision. We just ask that you remain silent and just hang on the phone there. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Parker was out and made some choices, as he indicated, a bad choice on the 20th of October. And then again on the 31st, he chose to have himself photographed with what appeared to be real weapons. Not a good choice, considering a previous conviction for misconduct involving weapons and himself being a prohibited possessor. It's true that he did not abscond this time, which is a good thing, and it's a good thing that he has minimal discipline in prison. That's a good thing too, and I hope he continues with that, avoiding discipline in prison. But given that he did not communicate well with his parole officer and used methamphetamine, even though he knew he was not supposed to use methamphetamine, I'm not seeing him a good candidate for release, but I would listen to any input of fellow board members. Not seeing any input, I'm going to make a motion then based on information in warrant 2018W3220. Conversation with Mr. Parker, information from Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Parker was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and Hal Baxter was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using methamphetamine while on community supervision.
Seconded.
Mr. Johnson. Mr. Neal?
Agreed?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Parker, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, so we're showing you with a release date of April 19th, so that's about 2 months away, and at that point you won't have any supervision, full supervision to worry about. We certainly wish you the best, sir, and hope that if drug use has been a problem for you, which it certainly was a problem in this case, that you find some kind of treatment. In the meantime, you use this time, work with your CO3, see if you can attend some AA or NA classes, and get a handle on your drug issue, sir. So we thank you so much for being polite today's hearing, and your hearing is concluded. We'd appreciate if you just lay the phone down on the counter, sir, and let your CO3 know you're finished. Thank you.